Hey everybody, and welcome to the seventh episode of the third season of the Black History Edition.
Yeah.
Of Press X's Start.
There we go.
All right. Y'all didn't know, but we retook that a couple times.
Transparency.
Press X is a weekly gaming podcast about inclusivity and its place in gaming. Games are for everyone, and we here at Press X hope to break down the walls of exclusivity with our discussions on news, reviews, and all things video games. I'm your host, Marcus Ellison, a.k.a. your heavyweight champion from a wish a nigga would, California, a.k.a. the janitor because I be washing niggas, a.k.a. Deenda Jenkins, and Deenda stands for Deenda my dick.
I am Sean M.F. Ross.
What's the M.F. stand for?
Milk fat.
I like that. I am DJ, a.k.a. did you know... that the Himalayan honeybee produces hallucinogenic honey.
Can I buy that on Silk Road?
Right, I need to get in on that.
Hey, I mean, you know, if you look it up, you'll find it.
All right.
Internet is internet.
This is true. I'm going to go on Craigslist right now.
And I am Douglas II, your mm-hmm. field correspondent.
Hey.
With a D is for darkness.
That's
pretty. And that's today's word.
All right. Darkness.
It would have been boy, but we'll say that for later day.
All right.
Fair enough.
That also starts with a B.
Oh, I guess it has to be daddy.
There we go.
What is it with you and the word today?
Oh man.
Oh, so we're just gonna slide right into what we've been playing.
Yeah.
We're going to start with you, Doug, because you actually played something that's off the beaten path. So,
you mean not by Kingdom Hearts or some other Disney property?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been playing Motorcycle Club. It was a cheap game because I ride motorcycles and I sort of miss it while it's like 40 and 30 degrees outside.
Right.
And so,
what console is it for?
I got it for the PS4.
Okay.
Off on a PSN. It was about $10 on sale. And it's a game where you're able to ride very number of motorcycles on a single course. However, within that course, there are different type of terrains. And so as you go throughout the course, if you're on like a smooth, straight, long way, you could use a super sport bike to eat up some time. Or if you're somewhere with rougher terrain, you could ride an adventure bike. But it's an okay game.
Yeah.
However, I'll be looking for other motorcycle-related games because this one is just okay, but... yeah, I'm gonna try something different.
That seems like a pretty slim field.
Well, there are other like MotoGP inspired games out there that can. This was just cheap, and
yeah,
you definitely get what you paid for.
Right. Well, they need to make a burnout or split second for motorcycles.
Yeah, really though. So, is there any like microtransactions in this or anything?
So far, none that I have encountered.
Okay. Cool.
But
at this point in time, I'm not sure if I'm gonna. And that's long enough to see what's in there. So
that's fair. That's fair. So we're going to move on over into, I know last week we said we weren't going to have any Kingdom Hearts 3 impressions, but I guess we sort of lied.
Yeah. Because Kingdom Hearts is Kingdom Hearts.
Yep. So I just finished the Monsters, Inc. world. Mm-hmm. So did DJ, but DJ did it a little bit in reverse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he doesn't read.
So apparently before you... journey to a world, there's a little suggested rating on there.
Yep.
I completely skipped that. I saw the frozen world. I was like, let me go do this first and I'll do the monster thing. So I did it, beat it. That world is probably the worst world in the entire game. I haven't beat the game yet. There might be worse worlds, but right now that is holding the award for most disappointing and confusing and terribly designed worlds in this game.
Congratulations, Frozen.
You look pained and frustrated just by saying that.
While I was playing that world, my wife was sitting on the couch watching me, and I was narrating the whole thing. And she's like, do you not like this game? It's like, it's not that I don't like the game. I just don't like the situation I'm in right now. And it's just like, oh my. But Sean has more on that.
They shouldn't have put Frozen in there. They had no business being in there. They rammed it in there just to get that Let It Go song in
there.
How so?
You see Elsa, when you first get to the world, she's crying. She runs off. He's like, hey, come back. She disappears for another 45 minutes. When you see her again, she's singing Let It Go. Why? If you've never seen the movie, you have no context as to why this is going on.
If you've never seen the movie, you've also heard Let It Go.
but when the song comes out, is it... Does it make sense in terms of the story they're telling you in the game, or
you just walk up
and she's singing?
Yeah, there's literally
and
no
she's
story.
Making a castle.
There's no story going on right there. Like it's just like the camera gets a drop on her and she's like,
"Hark,
singing."
Yeah,
and all you guys are just standing there watching her.
And she's building a gigantic castle. She lets out of here. She throws on this one piece gown and she just singing Let It Go. And I'm sure it's moving in the movie because there's a huge buildup.
Yeah.
But in the game, you're just walking up. Oh,
I'm sorry.
She's in a moment and you're interrupting.
Yeah. Goofy dumbass just like, what a beautiful song.
That actually happens?
So they do the thing where they go back and forth between her singing the song and like the reactions of like Sora, Donald, and Goofy. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, they clearly don't belong here because they're just like, huh? What's going on?
How I felt Tangled.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing that they do. So I feel like this is a clear example of Disney going in and saying, hey, you need to put this song in this game.
Yep.
We don't care how you do it,
but you need
to put it in.
Get it done.
And the devs are just like, the amount of time it's going to take to build up to this song will be ridiculous. Mm. And we don't have the time or the resources to do all of that. So enjoy.
Numora's like, but the game is finished. And Disney's like, that sounds like a you problem.
Terrible.
So far, the Toy Story world's been my favorite world.
Yeah.
I thought that was actually a really good world.
Yeah.
With a lot of interesting mechanics and design. And the story was actually pretty dope.
Are you talking about Mini Anthem? With the javelin?
Yes. So wait, Toy Story's Pixar, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Interesting.
But it was part. Disney.
Yeah. But it seems like the Disney franchises might be the problem in this game versus the Pixar, because even in Monsters Inc., that's also Pixar.
Yep.
And there you're able to like that story is like separate from the movie. I mean, it borrows stuff from the movie, but like it's more
its own thing, sort of.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's interesting. Before we go over to Sean talking about Apex Legends real fast, I do want to point out that it's oddly weird that they've decided to put every princess in the game except the colored ones.
Yep.
No. Wait, Esmeralda.
There's no Tiana.
No Tiana.
No Pocahontas. The real princess.
No Moana.
No Moana. Looking,
no Mulan.
They're looking for princesses of light.
Yep.
Not light skin.
Right.
We need the lily white princesses. Then, you know, Tiana, Esmeralda, and them could join Ansem in the Organization 13 with all the other darkies.
So that means that you don't go to New Orleans.
Nope. See, New Orleans, like, that would have been a cool world, you know? You get flashed.
Knowledge.
Eat some beignets.
Get some beads on your face. You gotta earn them beads.
Hey, that could have been Sora's other form where he's shooting all beads
to his nipples.
He gets a really low cut shirt.
Hey, all about that cleave.
But
oh man.
Also, Monsters Inc. Goofy is a monster.
Boy,
it's horrifying.
You know what?
I have the nerve to call someone else ugly.
Out of the three, I feel like Sora looks the freakiest because he doesn't have a nose and he's also not wearing any pants.
I'll tell you this much.
And
but Donald is short. Sora's tall. There's a bunch of crotch shots. Wait, hold up now. You guys need to
Furries
stop this.
Furries had a field day with Monsters Inc. Sora.
Oh, really?
I don't know for sure, but I can tell you I know.
Maybe that is Disney's way of showing inclusion.
There we go. Yeah, rule, there we go.
Rule 34.
But yeah, Sean,
I've been playing Apex Legends.
Hey.
I'm enjoying it. Although people are having complaints about it's still crashing, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm playing it and I'll be like,
are you crashing as well?
Yeah. I'm like not necessarily winning the game, but I'm on my way to doing something.
Yeah.
I might have got like one or two kills and then error screen.
Is it like do you have to like kind of like you and your three person, I guess, clan, have you just have to like
hard reboot?
Or you never get rejoined back up with somebody because the team's always random unless you join up with your own friends.
Squad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Squad.
Yeah.
And apparently, if somebody drops out and you actually win, you don't get credit for that win.
Oh, from what I've been reading.
You mean if, like,
that hurts.
So, if three of us are playing and my connection drops and two of you are still playing and you just somehow win, allegedly you don't get credit for the win.
Wow. That's whack.
So I mean, you should get extra credit because you're doing the work. I have to
look more into it, but I've been having fun. I've been wiping people out by myself because sometimes people are cruddy. If they don't get the person that they want to pick at the selection screen, they'll just drop out of the game. So sometimes they'll leave you with a two-man squad or a one-man squad.
Yeah. Yeah. So real quick, how many people do you have on your friends list?
In PlayStation?
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of friends. Okay. Why are you going to put me on the spot like that? No. Nah, I got like, oddly enough, I have 69 friends.
Oddly enough, you knew exactly how many friends you had. But
I look from time to time. Shut up, DJ.
The reason why I put you on the spot like that is because apparently that error or whatever that is, like hard restarting people from Apex Legend, is tied to your friends list.
How did that get passed?
But yeah, that's what's weird. You only have 69 friends. And for some reason, like, you're still being affected by that, which is strange. Anyways, they'll fix it. As soon as they start charging people for stuff, they'll get the money.
I still panic shoot in this game.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I was in a squad by myself. One man, one band, one sound. And I dropped in, and I saw a group around me. So I hurried up and ran in a building, picked up a gun, and ran up the stairs and just camped the door. Somebody ran in, popped him. Grabbed his gun. His teammate ran in to go save him. Popped him too. I took out a whole squad by myself.
High in the corner.
Took two more people, and then I started panicking because I forgot to switch guns and finally died.
Oh God!
Yes.
Not today.
I'm still enjoying the game though.
That's awesome.
Y'all should play it.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Let me know and I'll get on.
Do we?
I got nothing else going on other than Kingdom fucking Hearts.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I'd say that I could jump on more, but Anthem's almost out.
That's why I'm trying to beat Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to make my plate clean for Anthem.
Yeah. But we're going to move on to gaming news. But before we do that, we're going to have a word from our sponsors.
Lifesavers. I like Lifesavers.
Okay. Sure. Why not?
Hey there. You can find us at Facebook and Instagram at PressX2Start. On Twitter, we're at PressX2S. Our website is PressX2Start.com. Remember, wherever you're listening to us, remember to like and review. Every little bit helps. Thanks.
And we're back. So, for the first bit of gaming news, God of War, boy, cleaned up at the DICE Awards this year, winning Game of the Year, as well as 8 other awards.
It's ridiculous.
To the surprise of no one.
Nope.
Because we all knew what the real Game of the Year was last year.
Yup.
So, Wednesday night in Las Vegas, they had the 22nd annual DICE Awards, which, I'm going to be real with you, I didn't know was a thing.
Oh, really?
You said 22nd?
Yeah.
Yeah.
DICE?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not know that that was a thing.
Yeah.
The people who make...
No. DICE is, I don't remember the what it stands for, but it's basically the developers.
Yeah, it's by the...
Oh, I thought it was a studio DICE.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
It's hosted by the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences.
Yeah. So, essentially, DICE is like the real awards because the people that are voting are other developers.
Oh,
so there are people who know about the stuff.
So, like, the VGAs is like the Golden Globes and the DICE Awards is like the Oscars?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was it televised?
No, it was online.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah, Greg Miller was a host, and I think...
Shout out to Greg.
Did they advertise it then?
Huh?
Did they
but it's like... It wasn't like a IGN.
Big push. It wasn't a big push like the VGAs?
No.
Okay.
No. The thing is, like, it wasn't advertised to, like, general public. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I say. It's like the the industry applauding itself.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm. So
I can't think of the other host.
Big old industry circle jerk.
Yeah.
And outside of Game of the Year, God of War, I'm gonna rail off a couple of the awards it won. It won Outstanding Achievement in Game Direction, mm-hmm. Outstanding Achievement in Game Design.
Hey.
It also won Outstanding Achievement in Story.
Real quick, the hosts were Greg Miller and Jessica Chobot.
Oh wow, Chobot.
Yeah.
Dad, what's she been up
they,
to?
They also hosted last year as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Safe choice.
I want to say the year before, too. I might, that might be wrong, but they definitely hosted last year.
Okay.
Continue.
True. And yeah, so they also won Outstanding Achievement in Story, Outstanding Achievement in Sound Design, Character, Music Composition. You know, they cleaned up pretty nice. Yeah,
pretty much.
And it was well-deserved.
Would you say they washed them niggas?
Nah. I'm about to say, if you look at Red Dead.
Absolutely.
And that was our
that
one.
That is pretty shocking, though, that, like, I mean, not to say, because even at our own, like, Game of the Year list, like, we put God of War collectively over Red Dead, except for Jordan. But I'm surprised that Red Dead did get wiped out like that for the most
part.
Well,
Red Dead won one award, which is the Outstanding Technical Achievement.
Right.
And I honestly...
I'd say they deserved it.
Yeah. Like, that should be the award they win, because, like, Red Dead did good on story, but in terms of how ambitious the game development was...
It's like the Iliad. It's just...
long. Right, yeah, right. But, like, it's just, like, it's all right game. Like, the open world and stuff is fine, but I don't think it was as revolutionary as people made it out to be initially.
Right.
So,
do you think they're kind of like banking on their own reputation? The Rockstar
sort of
brand. I mean, it's a great game, but, like, even it's just...
No, yeah.
Whew.
Yeah. No, that checks out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, shout out to God of War. Shout out to Sony Santa Monica. Looking forward to God of War 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Featuring Ozone.
All right. One of the keynote speakers for the Dice was Sean Layden, who is the chairman of the Sony Interactive Entertainment, which is pretty much their the big game development arm of Sony Corporation. One of the things that he came up for was that he actually gave some props to Nintendo.
Oh.
Yeah. He says, never underestimate Nintendo. You know, since the fact that the best-selling console last year was the Nintendo Switch, not the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He later went on to a separate interview where he gave us quite some good tidbits, one of which was about why Sony is not going to be at this year's E3.
Yeah.
So
the moment people have been waiting for, really.
Right. Right. So here's what he said over to CNET. He said, now we have an event in February called Destination PlayStation, where we bring all retailers and third-party partners to come hear the story for the year. They're making purchasing discussions in February. June now is just too late to have a Christmas holiday discussion with retailers. So that E3 over time, since being in June and the way that it has evolved to be this big press spectacle, that it's supposed to be a trade show, but it's not a lot of trade activity.
Right.
And so Sony is going back to do their own thing to have those trade discussions.
Right.
And, which makes sense, because if you look at E3 now, it's the way it's been publicized, the way they dramatize it all with this big production, which is quite costly.
Yeah.
When in fact, they're like, look, we're just trying to tell, you know, Walmart, Target, Best Buy what products out there and what to expect.
Yeah.
You're not going to have the discussions when you got your IGNs and Varieties out there trying to ask you these questions. You're trying to grade who has the best presentation. That doesn't matter. If you're a retailer, you want to know, will this product move?
He also had a good soundbite where he basically said that the world is changing and E3 is not necessarily changing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he suggested, because it's already sort of becoming that anyway, where maybe E3 should morph into a fan thing, sort of like Comic-Con, where it becomes an annual celebration of fandom.
Yeah.
And
they can still announce things.
Right. Yeah. And I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know,
they said E3 was originally a trade show and there's not much trade going on anymore.
No, right. I think this gets kind of weird because we are finally bumping up with how we view E3 and how the, I guess, essentially the big three want to view E3.
Right.
Because when we look at it now, Nintendo Switch, they don't really even show anything on E3. They have their own little direct thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, by the way, For those who don't know, E3 is Electronic Entertainment Expo that they hold yearly.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So it is, I don't know. I like the idea of Sony breaking out and doing their own little direct thing. Mm-hmm. But a part of me is still very sad that they're not going to be at E3, because for as long as I could remember, that was like E3, like a lot of people say E3 is like gamer Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah. And like, not only it, for me, was E3 my Super Bowl, like Sony was my like team.
Right. Right.
And the fact that they're not going to be there. Not Patriots. They don't support Trump. Anyways, not that they're going to be there. It's like, damn, like it's just going to be Microsoft.
I agree.
And like, I think this year is going to be Microsoft's like chance to really, really step up and just take the whole conference.
Jordan in the corner like, the South shall rise again.
The war of Northern aggression. No, I wish they would all still take part in E3.
Yeah.
Just because it's nice to have one aggregator. Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of this stuff is over here, this stuff is over here.
Right.
Right.
No, I agree. Yeah. I think that it's a double-edged sword.
Right.
There's definite pros and cons to it. I fully am firmly behind the idea that times are changing and people need to change with it, especially these developers. And I actually am behind the idea of E3 becoming more fan-based and being something more like Comic-Con.
Yeah.
But I also agree at the same time that it is a bummer that Sony's not going to be at E3, because it's like, I was hyped to see what they've got. You know, but that doesn't mean that we won't necessarily see it in February, well, this month, or, you know, in the coming months, and that they won't, you know, drop some stuff around E3.
Well, I would say, how much does E3 really influence your decision to play a game? Because at this point, people can release their videos and
their trailers and at any time.
Exactly.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, we're moving, since you have this digital platform, even something like YouTube,
it gave you a time frame to expect when to see new trailers, though.
Right.
Right.
They were just saying, is it June? June is too late in the year
to do Christmas product discussions.
Yeah.
Right. For the whole trade aspect of E3.
And Sony doesn't necessarily have to be there, because, I mean, that's just Sony exclusives that they're going to be showing.
Right.
Other developers are going to be showing multi-platform games. So, I mean.
Yeah. I think for me, what it really boils down to was that, to me, E3 was basically the week of hype.
Right.
The week of, oh, this shit is happening. Like, we're about to see all the games that are going to be coming out this year and next year and
once
the
again,
following year.
It's Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like for me, like I didn't really pay too much attention to Comic-Con when it first started.
I'm not necessarily saying like in terms of, I'm saying what it is. Like week of hype for releasing trailers and.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I would just say that for me, I think like when I look at Comic-Con, I always look at Comic-Con celebrating the actors and stuff first, and then the releases and stuff second. Where I kind of feel like it's switched for E3. Where it's really all about the trailer, all about the big feature, all about the next console that's going to be happening. And then, like, that stuff can be told by whoever they had, whoever
you know
Ubisoft
what, though,
brings in.
But one thing, though, it's the point.
Yeah.
How E3 has developed and how it becomes to showing you things and get you hype as an individual, you know, gamer.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a sales executive with Walmart, you're maybe more concerned about when does it come out? What units can I push?
Right.
You may look more for the technical aspects, but the non-sexy parts that you can't put onto a jumbo screen with great graphics.
Yeah.
And it seems like Sony's trying to go back to that because, like I said, this is
Well, it seems like Sony's trying to split that off.
Yes.
Because that was always a problem with E3s before, where it's just like, all right, we've showed you all this stuff.
Statistics.
Now it's the numbers. And we're just like, we don't want to see the numbers. Mm-hmm. But there's like, no, this isn't for you. This is for the people that's going to like buy our stuff.
Which
and
goes
put
back
it in stores.
To, yeah, like Layden basically saying, like, we should just let E3 be for the fans and
we can
handle all of the trade stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think although I am like, oh, crap, this kind of sucks or whatever, I think this change would be a positive for Sony because I think if they can create like a Nintendo Direct kind of thing and control the conversation, they can really put out like a really, really cool like press like direct essentially.
Well, they had that PlayStation experience.
Yeah. But I mean, that was live though. What I'm talking about is a like pre-produced thing that they just put online. It's like, hey, there's
our
thing.
Still be called a PlayStation experience.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
True.
Okay. So to go along with all this stuff, during an interview that I believe it was Sean Layden had, he was talking about crossplay and how Sony is doing all this stuff to really help enable crossplay between the PS4 and other consoles, and how last year with Fortnite, they have started this crossplay beta. And they're trying to pull people in, like Rocket League. It happened in January.
It actually happened with Rocket League first and another game where...
They did it by accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was on and oh. You know.
Yeah. My bad.
Whoops.
So so basically, while all this was talking and like Sean Lane was saying how, yeah, you know, we're open for business. So whoever wants to do it, we can do it. Mm-hmm. The developers of a game that just came out, Wargroove, they fired back almost immediately. And was saying, that's not exactly true, Sony, because they had tried to input crossplay into their game for PS4, and they went through multiple avenues, and basically Sony came back and said, no, we're not.
Was this before Fortnite went cross-platform?
This is after Fortnite, because Wargroove came out this year, and the Fortnite thing happened last, like, September-ish?
Okay.
Around there?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it was very interesting that like Sony essentially tried to be like, yeah, we're good. We're trying to support the whole game industry and like really work together and play
Hello,
together
with
people.
Kids.
We're here.
Yeah. And Wargroove was like, that's not no, you didn't
we
actually.
We got receipts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think this is good that this happened to Sony because it definitely keeps them like
accountable.
Yeah. And like they need to be accountable if they're not holding up to what they're saying they're doing.
Yeah.
Because us being the outside consumer, we don't see what's going on behind the smoke.
This is true.
Also, real quick, Wargroove is an awesome game. Anyone who ever liked Advance Wars?
I did like that.
Yes. Wargroove is essentially a successor to that game. And it's set into like the medieval time or whatever. Hmm. But it still works the same. Hmm. So...
Okay. It's a real-time strategy game.
Little, yes. Little Press X recommend there.
There you go.
So, Sean?
Microsoft.
Hey, Microsoft.
Their Xbox Game Pass gamble is paying off.
All right.
They see an uptick of people playing as far as like time spent on playing games, as well as the type of games they're playing. So, surprise, surprise, when you give people just a free-for-all subscription, they're more willing to try out anything.
Who does that?
Versus $60 for a game, can't return them.
Right.
You get $3 back at GameStop trying to trade it in. So it looks like it's working out for them. It'll be interesting to see what happens when, was it Amazon and Apple jump in it as well?
I think, and Google also trying to deal with Ubisoft as well.
I wonder if Sony is going to release similar analytics because they have PlayStation now.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they haven't released anything now kind of make it seems like it's there, it's working, but it's not like anything to really gloat about yet.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm thinking maybe with PS5, they're going to do like a Game Pass thing.
Right? Well, with the Game Pass on Xbox, you have to download the games, don't you?
I have not a clue. Jordan.
PlayStation. Jordan, where you at? Gave y'all 4 days. Where y'all at? No, I think with PlayStation now, it's completely streaming.
Yeah, it is completely streaming, but they recently updated it so you can download it as well.
What they should do is give you another tier of PlayStation Plus, if not included in PlayStation Plus,
that
for
includes
the price,
PlayStation
but
now.
For another $10, $20 to give you access to PlayStation Now, I would subscribe.
Absolutely.
Put it here.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways. So that was Xbox Game Pass. So, geez. Okay, so Activision and Destiny.
Oh, God.
There's more on the dramatic split between the two. So Activision said they gave up on Destiny for the same reasons Netflix canceled Daredevil. What that means is Activision said to Bungie, hey, we're splitting off, basically because we don't own the Destiny IP.
Right.
And for all their other games, for all the games that they published, they own the IP.
Right.
And I mean, okay, like
they don't want to give up a cut.
Yeah.
Basically.
But yeah, like so basically Activision feels that they're not making as much money off of Destiny because
as they would want to.
Yeah, right, right. Because they can't go in and determine, okay, well, you need to change this gameplay mechanic to be a bit more profitable for us, or you need to change the way that your Eververse store works so it's just a little bit more enticing for players, or it brings in just a little bit more money for us.
Yeah.
It's or like basically,
they can't make like a free to play mobile game or
yeah.
Right. Different aspects yeah. without going over it with Bungie.
Right. Yeah. So they're not allowed to release anything or do anything without Bungie's permission. Gotcha. And like when you think about it, it's just like, well, yeah. Like Bungie's the one that's creating this game. What do you mean that you want to just make a spinoff of the game and put it on mobile just to get more money without clearing it? Like that doesn't who's okay? Who would be okay with that?
But now yeah. in more Activision L's.
All right.
Activision Blizzard has, well, as of now, back on Tuesday, it had begun its long rumored layoff process.
Okay, real quick. This is not all right. I said all right, not knowing what was next. I apologize. I hope all of you land on your feet after this because it is terrible what they're doing. Continue.
Yeah. The company, I'm not sure what the numbers are right now, but the company was eliminated 8% of its staff. In 2018, yeah. Activision Blizzard had roughly 9,600 employees.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, nearly 800, possibly more, people are out of work.
Yeah.
That's this ridiculous. Comes after they had a record year
yeah.
in revenue.
Yeah. Which is
trickle down economics at its best.
Activision out here looking like Fox after the Disney merger.
But then they get like a whole bunch of money with that tax break. Aren't we winning? This is how winning feels,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, right? Yeah, yeah. This is how winning feels when you are a exec.
I'm so tired of winning.
For some reason, I can't buy milk while winning.
You know, thankfully, they're letting them off with a comprehensive severance package, they say.
Yeah.
Continued health benefits, career coaching, job placement assistance.
They're trying to avoid having to pay unemployment insurance.
Right, essentially.
Yeah. But, which is better than what Telltale did. So.
I mean, yeah.
Telltale, like, we're going to be bankrupt.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Telltale's was a lot more sudden. And they're
still
much
good.
Smaller.
We're still good. Except for like five of y'all. Five of y'all, we're going to do that last episode. But the rest of y'all, thank you for your support.
Why doesn't right. my C card work anymore?
And then Skybound shows up like Noah's Ark.
come on. Only two people.
How many Middle Easterns you got? All right, we got two of y'all. We got two black people.
Two from every department.
Right.
But damn, you know, Activision's going through a rough one right now.
Yeah, it's.
And this shows too, because they've also been. I mean,
wait, time out. Activision is fine. The people they lay off is going to be going
right,
through
right,
rough
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing with Activision, that you've not only had there been, you know, the layoffs, they've also been kind of limiting their releases. I mean, when I think about it, like, I still play, I'm one of the few that still play Overwatch. And
yeah. Loser.
You can tell. Masochist. It's just that you can tell that they've really cut back. And it's, you know, it's kind of interesting because you see them expanding with their esports, at least for Overwatch League. But even then, it calls into question, what is the long-term viability of these tactics? Yeah, they may have cash now.
Yeah,
right.
But you have less people in your company to, even though it's supposed to be non-development work, but that's still bodies to do work that at least at one point in time would seem necessary.
Yeah.
So it makes me really call the question, like, what's their long-term viability? How would their product survive? Would there really be any big releases? Or are we seeing this slow degrading of this business?
Right. So real quick, we've been saying Activision, but just to be clear, it's Activision. It's also Blizzard. Mm-hmm. It's also King, the people who make Candy Crush.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple other Activision studios include High Moon.
Okay.
So it's not just Activision, quote unquote.
Right. Right,
other
right,
studios
right.
that are affected by this.
Activision Blizzard Corporation.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty. The long-term prospect of this company is not looking good.
Nah, it'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think. For the fact that this layoff is hitting non-game developer side departments. Mm-hmm. Like, they're still they're still able to produce. It's just that they had to cut off some stuff that's not necessarily needed.
Trim the milk fat.
Yeah. Right. As he looks at Sean. So, like, and it, like, if you look at the numbers, they've had to let go 8% of their staff, which is 800 people.
Right.
If that's only 8% of their staff, that's fucking huge.
Yeah.
So, like, this sucks, and this really sucks for the people. But again, like, Activision is a giant, giant company. Like, they're fucking fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was Enron.
Wow, that's a deep, we aged ourselves, right? With that reference.
That's like two administrations ago.
Yeah. You're like, shit, Enron. Let me Google that shit up real quick.
Remember when Bush was like the last like bad president?
I know, right?
No, man, he's like so cool.
Boy,
I miss cute bad as opposed to tyrannical incompetence.
Talking about tyrannical incompetence.
Ah,
Doug, what's happened with Epic?
Oh God. So
I don't know how that
when it comes to the lawsuits, it's all depending on how you see them.
Right.
So back in December, you have a lot of these filings from Tumili, Alfonso Ribeiro.
Just call him Carlton.
Carlton Banks.
There you go. His government name.
Question, have you ever seen him in anything else?
He wasn't dancing with the stars.
Just call him Carlton. Like
damn.
So hey, look, he's probably doing good. Them TV royalties. Good.
Yeah, he got mad Fresh Prince royalties.
I hope so. So in terms of the process, so in December you had the filing of the complaints for copyright infringement. You have these artists suing Epic and Take-Two for their emotes. Principally with 2 Milli is the Milli Rock, and with Carlton is the Carlton Dance.
Yeah.
And so they're filed in December. In February was when Epic and Take-Two filed their answer to that complaint. They're both using the same law firm.
Yeah.
You know, these are different parties, but same facts, same issues. So they're filed their answer, moving to dismiss these cases for failure to state a claim, i.e. they're saying that these dances cannot be protected under the Copyright Act, that they're simple dance moves, and that simple dance moves, just like any other social dance that requires a two-step, doesn't warrant protection from the copyright laws.
You try to do the Milli Rock
said
white man.
By white people, exactly. Like, bruh, okay, so yeah. What bugs me is that, like, yes, this is, we're going from complete law speak right now, but like in the dancing community, mm-hmm. there is a thing called biting, and you don't do it. And biting is basically copying someone's move. Mm-hmm. No matter how quote unquote simple it is, no dance move is actually that simple, because if it was, mm-hmm. you know, everyone would be able to dance. But,
that's the thing. The copyright law is written in a way in which we want to protect works that are of a, it has to be a choreographed material.
Right.
Something that is in some ways a little complicated.
Yeah.
It's more than just one or two. It's a series of steps. So in terms of the copyright law, like the idea would be like a ballet number where you have a series of moves
right.
that shows one piece of art.
Yeah.
The basic, you know, two-step in a ballet is not protected. But when you add that among other steps, it can get protection.
Yeah.
It is, you know, there's no hard and fast definition with choreography.
So it needs to be a whole choreographed number. So like,
yes.
Not just one move.
So like, if the Soulja Boy dance was
that's
an
I was
emote,
about to say.
Yeah.
Then that could be a suable
effect. I mean, I assume he
the whole Soulja Boy dance saying. Was yeah, it. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not talking about just the Superman Nano, like the entire dance.
Yeah.
That's...
It could be.
I mean, you still have to convince somebody inside the U.S. Copyright Office to agree with you.
Well, of course. But I mean, more so by the rules of it has to be a set of steps. Which that's a whole dance as opposed to just a move.
Now, if Fortnite had copyrighted square dancing.
Well, square dancing is a social dance and is not protected explicitly so.
But it's also created by white people.
Yeah, yeah, but in terms
does
of
they
like,
have an argument?
Let Garth Brooks be like, they stole square dancing.
You know, what they say here, examples of social dances not protected by copyright include ballroom dances, folk dances, line dances. So there you go. Okay, those of you love you like to slide, keep on doing it.
All right.
Square dances, swing dances. Yoga moves are also not, even though Birkum Yoga would try to protect it. That does not protect it.
Was that a thing that someone was debating?
There was a lawsuit that went to the Ninth Circuit.
Holy shit.
Over whether yoga could be copyrighted. So yeah, so when you look, bring it back.
I stand corrected.
So not only did you have Take-Two and Epic say, hey, this is not practical, it's too simple, but Alfonso Ribeiro also got a response back from his application to copyright the Carlton Dance.
Yeah.
And the copyright office said no. They said that not only is it too simple of a dance to copyright, because it said you're basically moving your hips and hands into swinging motions.
You're swinging from side to side.
That's it. Literally. So you're swinging to the side. That's not right. But also, they called the question his ownership of the dance, because he submitted his dance from Dancing with the Stars. But then they said, well, we know that in Dancing with the Stars, they pair a celebrity with a professional dancer who is also a choreographer. And the Carlton Dance is one piece of a bigger choreographic number. The choreographic number is done by Whitney Carson, not Alfonso Ribeiro.
So what you're saying is he's an idiot for not submitting a clip from the show as opposed to...
Well, they also talk about that too, because the copyright of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is NBC. The copyright for Dance with the Stars, ABC, those marks are on there. So the question is, and they kind of allege, like, well, was he really, and they were polite, they're like, was he really the author of this work, or was it just a work for hire?
That's bullshit. Man,
the legal world is cutthroat, bro. So, you better come with A1
Let me
defense.
Tell you something. My favorite line from looking at the lawsuit was in response to Tim Milley, because Tim Milley, allegation he said was,
before you do that,
go for it.
They actually wrote out how the dance is, how the dance.
That's what
moved.
He's getting to.
Oh, that's what you're gonna do.
Well, I mean, I could read that part, but if you got to go for it.
Yeah. Okay. So this is how they describe the Two Millies move.
Who is this? The complaint or just from the copyright office?
This is from the copyright office.
Okay.
The dance step consists of a sidestep to the right while swinging the left arm horizontally across the chest to the right, and then reversing the same movement on the other side, namely a sidestep to the left while swinging the right arm horizontally across the chest to the left. What the fuck is that?
I'd like to believe that the judge asked him to produce evidence and two Millie just started Millie rocking the courthouse.
Two Millie was like, I don't know what that was, but I'm just going to do the dance. That shit didn't make no sense.
Well, one thing he also alleged, and two Millie alleged, and his complaint was that they're using his likeness. It's like, my dance is my likeness.
Exactly.
And... Epic Games replied. They said that, well, you know, 2Milly has made no allegations that Epic Games' use of his likeness goes beyond Swipe It. Critically, Swipe It can be used by any Fortnite character, none of which 2Milly alleges share any physical characteristic with him. And 2Milly has not asserted that he has appeared in any similar setting in Fortnite, namely, he has not fought in a battle royale using weapons to kill opponents.
Bruh.
So if 2Milly fought in the Hunger Games, he would have some right.
You're just right. Yes.
That's petty.
Yo. So yes. So Jesus. So oh, to my man. Brother in Kirkland and Ellis, good job writing that paragraph. Because pretty much just saying that you ain't getting nothing from
yeah.
us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Epic Games saga continues.
Yeah.
So terrible. To wrap it all up, what's good, George? Whoa.
Ooh.
Sean.
Because all black people look alike.
I've been canceled.
So to reiterate, I am not the Nintendo guy.
Are you sure?
Shut up, Marcus. However...
You take one for the team.
If you follow our social media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
You should.
And subscribe.
You should, definitely.
You would see that I posted when the Nintendo Direct was about to be posted. So they listed a bunch of games coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's hitting on that Battle Royale. So they have Tetris 99, which is a Battle Royale. I played right before we recorded. I got number 6.
Oh. Which is very impressive.
They got some cutthroat Tetris players out there. Jesus Christ.
So how do you play a Battle Royale style?
Okay, so they have had multiplayer Tetris for years now. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to play Tetris Splash on the Xbox 360 like daily back in the day. I'm old. But basically, anytime you get a match in Tetris, you eliminate lines, you send trash blocks over to the other player.
Basura.
So, Spanish for trash. So basically, they just expanded that concept to include 100 people, which they could have done this a while ago. I don't know what took them so long.
The idea.
Fortnite.
Yeah. They announced Super Mario Maker 2 with slopes. You get
to now with slopes.
That doesn't seem like it was made for us.
Yeah. No. It was if you think you can do better, go make it your effing self.
Okay, yep.
Here's go make it your effing self too. Basically, you can make you can make your own Mario levels in any graphical style that they have shown in any past Mario game.
Yeah.
I used to watch a lot of Super Mario Maker videos that this YouTuber Dashy Games does.
Yeah.
Mm. And watching the levels that fans would make. Man.
Yeah, before you can release a level to anybody, you have to play through it yourself and actually succeed in playing it.
Right. And then if you die in a level, they show like with a bunch of X's where other people have died.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay. They announced the DLC Joker Light when he's going to come out. When does that come out?
That's going to be in April, I believe. Yeah.
They have
or, I'm sorry, is it before April? Either April before April. You're going to get it before May, so whatever.
If you follow us, I'll announce it on there. They have Box Boy, I've never played. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker is getting some new DLC.
Yeah. Captain Toad.
So this game now offers co-op. So you can play as
Box
Captain
Girl.
Captain Toad. No. Toadette. Oh, yeah. Box Boy and Box Girl. That also has co-op as well. But yeah, so like.
I'm a motherfucking Box Boy.
But like Captain Toad, like I was actually watching, I was like, this actually looks kind of fun. Like this is something that me and my wife can play. So, okay, there's that.
And then we also got Bloodstained, which is from the makers of what, Castlevania?
Yes,
the Kickstarter game, the actual 3D game, whatever you want to call it, is going to come out in summer.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed 3 is coming to the Switch.
Ah.
Fire Emblem Three Houses. Hellblade, which is surprising, that's coming to the Switch.
Real quick,
yeah.
With the Fire Emblem stuff, they spent entirely too much time on that during the Direct. And I was just like, you guys need to push past through this because I don't care.
Shigeru Miyamoto is a giant Fire Emblem fan.
And it is annoying. It's so annoying.
I'm so happy for Hellblade. I'm so glad that more people are going to get a chance to play that.
It's going to do numbers on the Switch just because people are happy to see AAA games come to the Switch. It's a big community. Final Fantasy VII and IX are coming to the Switch.
No, VIII. Yeah.
Final Fantasy IX is already out. I think VII comes out next month.
Mm-hmm.
Any reason why not the VIII? Was it too controversial?
No, I think there is an issue with music license with that game.
Always the lawyers.
Yeah. So that's why it's been.
Is it just like the game itself, or is it like updated at all, or
all the same bugs?
Okay,
because apparently it's the mobile and PC port.
So 7 still looks like doo doo then. Gotcha.
Yes. Oh, it's not the remastered version of 7 that's going to come out in 2025. Yes.
If you're being generous,
I'm being generous.
Surprise, surprise! The Legend of Zelda: Link's Awakening from the Game Boy is being remade. I'm copping it.
Yo, okay.
Even though DJ I did not finish.
Just busted several nuts.
Yo, so.
Even though I did not finish.
Breath of the Wild?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you got a lot further than me in Breath of the Wild. Like, I put in a whole hour and a half, and I was like, I am good. Like, I am good on this. There's nothing
it's a
really.
It's a good game. It's not a Zelda game.
Right, yeah. So, looking at Link's Awakening, that.
Day one.
Boy, like the art style is like so cutesy, but it's done in such a polished and clean way that it's just like, I can sit and just look at this game. It looks so great.
Would you want to see like a Pokemon game made in that style?
Mm. We're going to get that soon, though.
Well, we are going to get a Pokemon game.
We don't know what it's going to look like yet, though.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want a Pokemon game in that style, only because Pokemon has such a definitive style
right.
that has carried through.
I would say that It actually does look like a Pokemon game because that is what they look like already in their 3D iteration. So
yeah, but I just feel like
I threw my hands up.
I feel like the Link's Awakening game has just, in terms of age range, I feel like they dropped down that dial just a couple numbers to like 5 or 6-ish. Right. Yeah, where as like Pokemon, I would want, like at this point, we've seen Pokemon in anime style. We've seen Pokemon in 2D game style and 3D game style. Like we need to see a Pokemon that maintains that cartoony style, but also has a like polished, like mature look to it.
Detective Pikachu.
Right.
Oh, don't get me started.
This is Pokemon Twitch? The Last of Us.
Yo. Yo. I would play that immediately.
I just want to see what the death scene is going to look like. Zombified, just like...
Right?
So you're telling me that another Nintendo Direct has come and gone and we still don't have a Pilot Wing sequel?
They said next time for you, Marcus. Next time.
Next time, baby.
There wasn't a next time.
Damn it. That's my Armored Core. Wow.
Wait, didn't they have that with Wii Resort? A Pilot Wings?
Oh, yeah. So
it doesn't count. Game?
Yeah. Talking about Armored Core, this is not Armored Core, but...
Hang a shooter, send DJ.
Oh, shit. I forgot the name of that game. The Armored Core game that is coming out for... the Armored Core game, I don't remember the name of it, but it is created by the developers of Armored Core coming out for Nintendo Switch, are releasing a demo... That is, I believe it's playable now, as of us recording. I don't remember exactly.
Oh, Demon X Machina?
Yes, yeah, yes. And I'm going to try that out.
We'll have impressions on the next podcast.
No, we won't.
Actually, you're right, because the next podcast will be all of Anthem, because Anthem comes out next Friday, I think. It comes out on the 22nd.
So Anthem's going to just beat away Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah, Anthem is next Friday, yes.
Oh, boy.
So...
We have a lot of boys in this.
Yeah.
Okay. We do have a lot of boys in this podcast, including four of them sitting at this table right now.
Ah, boy.
All the girls see the... Look at his kick.
Boy.
Look at his car.
Boy.
All I say is...
So, boy, want to close it out?
I was trying to figure out how we were going to transition to the ending of the podcast.
You're not the Sultan.
Right. No, I'm not. So this has been another episode of Press the Start Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this podcast as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app. Pause. Okay, everyone. We're going to be real with you right now. Mm. We need you to subscribe, okay? You can review. You can rate. You can bathe. You can cook. You can do all that stuff after you subscribe.
Whoa.
Okay. All right, preacher.
Hey, I'm just saying, you know, people got to do what they got. Anyway, subscribe. You just got to subscribe.
And do what again?
Like and subscribe.
Ooh. Okay.
Or subscribe and then like. If you miss any of this, make sure you subscribe. You can find all the details and more when you subscribe at our website at pressx2start.com. Subscribe. Until next time, subscribe. Subscribe. Okay?
Join the Navy.
I don't know how clear I can be, but we need your support if you like us.
All right. That wasn't intimidating at all. Uno out.
Subscribe.